Well, good morning, everyone, and happy Christmas to you all. Today we're going to be reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. So I'll just give you a moment to find that if you like. Failing that, it's on the screen, as you can see. So you don't necessarily have to find it in your Bible, but if you do, that's fine too. Right, so in those days, a decree went out that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. Interesting. My version seems to be quite different to this. This was the first census, first registration, when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was his child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they'd heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, I found out a few of the presents that some people have had this Christmas when we had the children's talk. But you know, what presents have you received this Christmas? Has anyone received anything really cool? Josh? Toilet paper with Christmas jokes on. Wow, that's quite a present. Are they Christmas cracker jokes? Or are they better than that? Cracker jokes, okay. Yeah. I'm not sure whether I'd want that present, but that's good. Anyone else? Any really cool presents? That looks like a good present. What's that? A Bible. That's a really good present. Yeah? Oh, wow. Wireless headphones. Excellent. One more? Wow, okay. That sounds really complicated. I don't think I could do that. It isn't complicated. You reckon I could do it? Okay. I don't know. I think I'd probably be awful. But anyway, yeah. Well, the thing is, you say, I probably got lots of really boring presents because I'm an adult. But I'm sure you've got loads of exciting things. Now, maybe you received some things that you really wanted. You know, maybe Father Christmas read your letter really carefully and delivered you the right things. Maybe you had some surprises. You know, maybe there were a few things that you got this morning when you opened your presents that weren't on your Santa list but made you happy anyway. Oh, I don't know, maybe there were a few surprises that you didn't quite like so much. I don't know, maybe that jumper with the appalling colour scheme sent to you by Aunt Mabel or something. That was something that you really... you felt that that person just didn't really have to give you that present. But anyway, today we're talking about a present that is a bit different. And this is the present that God gave to each of us back on that first Christmas day. Needless to say, God sent to us all a really important gift on that Christmas. And that gift was kind of what folk were expecting. They were expecting a saviour, they're expecting the Messiah to come. But also that gift was much more than that. And when you stop to think about it, this gift was probably the most surprising one ever given. So what's this gift? Well, the baby Jesus. But why was this gift so important? And then there's this question, why does this gift continue to be so important to us now? Well, the first thing to say is that this gift is important because through it, through the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, come as a human being, sin and death are defeated in our lives. And the second thing is that by sending his Son, Jesus Christ, to earth to die for us and defeat sin and death by rising to new life, by doing those things, God himself will be glorified. And that's what makes this gift really good. Because you see, the be-all and end-all of everything isn't actually us. We like to think it is. I like to think it is sometimes. But my wife will tell you that's the case. But anyway, the be-all and end-all of everything is that God is glorified in our lives. What is the chief end of man, says the Westminster Catechism? The answer is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. So, let's first talk about this gift of salvation for us. This gift of salvation means all things will be put right through Jesus Christ, this baby that's been born. All things will be put right through his death and resurrection. You see, God came to earth as a human being to die for us and to defeat sin and death in us. And if we turn to today's reading, so from Luke chapter 2, we can see what it has to say about this. The first thing about this gift, this Christmas gift, the baby Jesus, is that things surrounding the giving of this gift are actually, they're kind of both, on one level, totally ordinary, and on another level, utterly surprising. In fact, in a strange sort of way, the gift is surprising precisely because it's kind of ordinary. You see, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was born as a baby in Bethlehem. I mean, there's nothing out of the ordinary about a baby being born. Loads of babies are born every year, every day of the year, all around the world. The birth of a baby is a time of great joy and no sleep for all the families that receive these new little lives. But it's hardly uncommon. It's not terribly surprising that a baby was born in Bethlehem on some day in the first century. This baby is born in probably what would have been a fairly typical family home of the day, actually. Traditionally, of course, we believe that Jesus was born kind of in this sort of extra room next to an inn or something. But I think that word that we translate as inn can be translated in different ways, and it almost certainly isn't what we understand as an inn. It's probably a home where people are receiving guests. It's probably a fairly typical family home. And the fact that the parents laid the baby in an animal trough, a manger, and probably wasn't also quite so unusual as you might think. I mean, if you clean it out and put some fresh straw in it, it's probably about as close as you could get to a decent cot in first century Israel for an ordinary family. Now, slightly unusually, Joseph and Mary have been on their travels. They don't live in Bethlehem. They're going back to the town of their ancestry. They've had to come from Nazareth because there's a census going on. And they were due to be counted as part of this census. Now, there were any number of these censuses in the ancient world, and they were often a pain for the ordinary people. The ordinary people would have to return to their hometowns to be counted, and there were no cars or trains or buses in those days. And in this case, you know, the pregnant Mary had to go to Bethlehem on the back of an animal, which can't have been very nice. But apart from the whole census thing, this is a pretty ordinary scene. The baby is born, wrapped in cloths, and placed in the manger, which are all very reasonable things to do in the circumstances. And then the ordinariness basically continues, because in verse 8, we meet with some shepherds who are keeping their sheep in the fields nearby. Now, shepherds are probably quite a bunch of rough and ready folk. A bit like builders or something in our culture, or, well, nothing bad against builders, but yeah, basically the Bible likes shepherds. The Bible says that these people, it sees these people in a very positive light. Yeah, we've got Moses, David, and Amos, who are examples in the Old Testament of shepherds who are called by the Lord. Shepherds, although generally speaking kind of ordinary folk, they have this tendency to get called by the Lord. They have this tendency to get called by God. And he calls these ordinary folk to play really important roles in his plan. And that's what he does here too. Although they're very ordinary, what God has in store for them is anything but ordinary. God sends some angels to these shepherds. First of all, we have one angel. One angel comes to visit them. In verse 9, we read, "An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." So now at this point, we're departing from the usual, from the everyday, and coming across things that are really pretty surprising. I bet those shepherds weren't expecting to meet with an angel that night. You know, are any of you expecting to meet with an angel today? No? Yeah? No? Okay. I'm not. I mean, it's not normal, is it? And it's hardly surprising that they were terrified. You know, I think I would have been terrified too if an angel suddenly appeared to me while I was pasturing my flock in a field somewhere. Or, I don't know, while I was busy doing my work or whatever. And it's hardly surprising that, you know, there's this terror there. But actually, I think this terror, this fear, isn't actually so much a fear of the presence of the angel, but a fear of the glory of the Lord that's shining around them. Because in this situation, the shepherds aren't just encountering an angel, they're actually encountering the presence of God himself. And that's a surprise. When God makes himself present, in whatever way, it's always a surprise, and it's always terrifying. And I think that today's reading, which is basically the story of the first Christmas, is full of surprises, not just for us, but for the people in the story, despite its apparent ordinariness. And it's those surprises that start to tell us what's going on. You know, this whole business of Mary and Joseph looking for somewhere to stay, laying the baby Jesus in a manger and an animal trough and being attended by shepherds from the surrounding fields, this is kind of ordinary, but to the people who were there and present, it wasn't ordinary. And the fundamental reason why this was not ordinary was because of the presence of the glory of the Lord. This terrifying and awesome presence of the glory of the Lord. And that's what tells us about the identity of this baby, the baby Jesus. Yes, he's a baby like any other, but God is present with him in a much more powerful way than with any other baby. And in fact, that is because he is himself God. This is God come in human form. This is the Son of God come as a human being. And going back to the story, what does the angel say in verses 10 to 12? Well, he tells them this. He says, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." The angel announces good news. What kind of good news? Well, he announces that a Savior has been born, the Messiah, the Anointed One, sent by God to save his people. As we heard earlier, the name Jesus means Savior. The actual presence of God is probably more than they were expecting. They were probably thinking this Savior would be a kind of worldly, political Savior. You know, someone a sort of skillful and maybe divinely appointed military leader, someone who could come and help them out, come and sort out the Romans, you know, like Asterix the Gaul style, get rid of them. But hey, the people of Israel were waiting for a savior. They'd been promised one in various prophecies. But at the time, they understood this to be someone who could set them free from the Romans, someone who could set them free from the lordship of the Gentiles. A savior or a messiah was a political savior or messiah in their minds. The fact that this savior, the baby Jesus, has been born in David's hometown is also a big deal, because if you go back to 2 Samuel 7, you'll find that God made a covenant with David. God promised David that one of the descendants of David, one of his descendants, will rule forever, that his kingdom would have no end. And you see, this baby is going to be the king promised by God to David, the king who would make all things right and reign forever. And you see, for the Jews in the first century, the political and the moral are really closely connected. If God's kingdom comes about in Israel right now, if the Romans are thrown out, then that makes everything that's wrong right. It means everything will be made right in the relationship between God and his people, because he will be restoring his covenant through that. And that would be a sign that God has forgiven the sin of his people. And it's for that reason that in their minds, the coming kingdom of God puts everything right on a big political scale, but also on an individual scale. And this kingdom is going to be ruled over by this baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. This very ordinary baby, Jesus, is going to rule the world forever. This baby is both an ordinary human being and God himself. God has come as an ordinary human being, which is mind-boggling. Why did he do this? Well, he came as an ordinary human being in order to save ordinary human beings like you and me. God hasn't come as someone terribly remarkable in human terms. You know, he didn't immediately appear as a sort of military leader. He didn't turn up as sort of Asterix the Gaul to fight off the Romans. You know, he didn't, there was something kind of like special about him in that kind of way. And the thing about that is that God came to save us no matter how unremarkable we may be. You know, we're not special people. And the thing is that God came as someone who was ordinary, like us, in order to save ordinary people like us. God didn't just come to save kings and rich and powerful people. In the religions of the day, that would be kind of the normal thing to do. You know, people expected that rich and powerful people would be saved, but not ordinary people. But God came to save anyone who would put their trust in this baby and in what he would do by dying for us and rising to new life. And the unbounded power of the one who created the universe is somehow confined in the body of this baby, now wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. On the surface, this is an ordinary scene, but the fact that God would come in this way to save his people and to make right all that's gone wrong with the world he created is anything but ordinary. In the end, this baby will conquer death. That's not ordinary. And by placing our trust in him, death in us is conquered too. We'll be part of his eternal kingdom, where death is no more. The fact that God did this is the most extraordinary thing of all. The baby as a sign to the shepherds is kind of crazy. The baby's kind of like an ordinary sort of sign. But it's so cool that God would show himself to them in this humility and weakness. God reveals the greatness of his power right in the middle of that humility and weakness, right in the middle of that ordinariness. And in fact, right in the middle of our ordinariness this Christmas. So that's the first part of the gift of this baby Jesus and the reason why it's important. God came as a weak and vulnerable human being to come alongside us and save us by defeating everything that's wrong with us, our sin and our death. And that's the good news for you and me here today. But the second reason, which I'm not going to spend so long talking about, you'll be pleased to know, is that by sending his son Jesus Christ to earth to die for us and defeat sin and death, by rising to new life, by doing those things, God will himself be glorified. And that is the be-all and end-all of everything. As I said at the beginning, you know, quoting the Westminster Catechism, what is the chief end of man? The answer is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And as we turn back to today's passage, we find that for the shepherds, things now get even more surprising. The angel who's come to visit them is now joined by a great company of the heavenly host. That's basically lots of angels, translating that into ordinary English. And they're all there in the field with the shepherds. And they sing, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Now, this song is all about who this baby is and what he's come to do. This gift is all about glorifying God. This baby is all about glorifying God. You see, this baby will save God's people, will save us, and defeat the power of death and sin in their lives, in our lives. He saves us and defeats the power of death and sin in our lives. And through this, as we place our trust in him, we find God's favor and his peace. But through this act of God's salvation, God is himself glorified. You know, as saved people, we glorify him, but this act of salvation in itself glorifies him. Because at the end of the day, it's all about him, not us. In the last part of today's passage, the shepherds go to Bethlehem to find this baby, to see this baby that is the sign the angel promised them. And when they find the baby, it seems to have quite a powerful effect on them. They tell everyone what the angel had said about this child, and they go back to their fields singing praises to God. And the appearance of the shepherd seems also to have quite a powerful effect on Mary. She treasures up all these things in her heart. And you see, the thing is, neither the shepherds nor Mary as yet have a full understanding of what the baby Jesus will do, but they do know that God is present there. They do know that God is at work in this situation. It seems ordinary, but God is at work. God is really at work. Something surprising is happening. God's glory is present in a powerful way that they have never experienced before. And God is already being glorified through the life of this child. You know, sometimes in our lives, I think we can kind of know that God's at work, but we really don't know where things are going. And that's quite unsettling. That's fine. But I think we've got to ask ourselves, and this is the key thing, is God actually being glorified in our lives? Because if not, then there's the following question, which is, have we really placed our trust in this child, in Jesus Christ? Have we given ourselves into the hands of King Jesus? Have we accepted God's gift? Because if we haven't, let's not leave that unwrapped this Christmas, but place our trust in him this Christmas day. So let's bring things to an end. God's gift of the baby Jesus is important because through him, God brought salvation to his people. He made all that's wrong with the world, with us, right. He came alongside us and defeated the sin and the death that's in us. And then God's gift of the baby Jesus is important because through this child and what he will do, God will be glorified. We'll enjoy him forever. So let's remember this gift this Christmas, the gift that God sent us on the first Christmas. Let's remember the salvation that's open to us if we trust in him. And let's remember to glorify the God who created us and brought us salvation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this gift of sending your son as a baby to this earth. Your son who would suffer and die for us and rise again to new life, bringing us new life. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for the way in which you have glorified your own name through this, Lord. And we pray that you would help us this Christmas. Lord, it's a joyful time celebrating this gift. Celebrating this gift with all the gifts that we have received this morning and will receive this day. But Lord, help us not to forget this true gift, this gift of salvation, of a Savior who has come to us this day. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to put our trust in him and to know that in him is hope for this life, for the future, and also for eternal life with you. We pray in your name. Amen.